Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which offers stories and methods to work with universal energy and enhance our personal development by understanding ourselves more completely, improving relationships, and manifesting a joyful, prosperous, and purposeful life. I am delighted to welcome Stephanie Banks, author of A Soulful Awakening, whose message is complete faith in the unknown, lack of concern for tomorrow, and undivided attention on today will bring you to a place of pure joy. Hi, Stephanie, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You know, Stephanie, I feel as you do, that freedom from fear allows us really to live a more fully empowered life and happy, and a happier life. Stephanie, as listeners of Healing From Within know, we explore the metaphysical world and the experiences that my guests and I have had, which have brought us to know that life is more than this physical reality, and an understanding of universal laws of energy allow us to merge spiritual energies with our physical life force in order to expand into higher consciousness, to know ourselves better, and to work with our most beneficial and productive thoughts, intuitions, and actions to become more loving human and spiritual beings. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Stephanie will share an event that happened in August of 2012 amidst the magnificent mountains of Whistler, British Columbia, Canada, where she had an accident with her bicycle, lost consciousness, had a near-death experience, and then returned to her injured body and a recovery that led her down a path of self-discovery. She aligned to who she really was, as opposed to what society expected her to be. Stephanie will share some messages from the non-physical world, which may aid our listeners in the awakening of their own soul sense development. Stephanie, I often begin the show by asking my guests to think back to your earlier childhood and remember any experience that may have pointed the way towards your life path or destiny, or the values, interests, which may have led you to where you are now in life.
Okay, yeah, that's an interesting question. And I think for me, a lot of the reason why I am where I am today has to do with the way I was brought up, the parents that I had. My mom was very much an intuitive being. I think we all are innately that way. We have our intuition. The problem is most of us don't use it as often as we should. And I was fortunate enough to grow up with a mom who was forever encouraging myself and my brother to allow our intuition to direct our life's course as opposed to overthinking every situation and every circumstance. So I grew up with the mindset that my intuition was the blueprint, let's say, for my life's path, and I've allowed myself to be open to following my intuition as much as possible. I also grew up with parents who were firm believers that there's more to this life than what meets the eye, meaning that, you know, there is such a place as the non-physical realm where great learning and knowledge and wisdom and oftentimes protection does exist. So I grew up with the mindset that it's not just this physical world in which we live that we are able to tap into, although I wasn't actually really able to tap into this non-physical realm until my accident in 2012, but maybe the mere fact that I was open to that possibility allowed me to sort of take that final plunge, let's say, after my accident.
Absolutely. And you were very fortunate to have parents like that. I was very fortunate to have parents who didn't believe in these metaphysical ideas, but they didn't burden me with too many beliefs. They allowed me to find my own way forward. So at some point, I was able to use my innate ability for healing and mediumship. And we were both very fortunate to have selected the right circumstances for our development, because I believe before we incarnate, we do select the family and the parents that we need for our development.
Absolutely, I agree completely.
So now let's go on to your life-transforming accident and almost near-death experience. How old were you at the time, and how was your life unfolding for you just prior to this accident?
Well, it was in 2012, so I guess I was around 40, and the accident itself catapulted me into this new way of life. It enabled me to reach beyond my material world and my physical world and see my eternal life from another perspective, in the sense that while I lay in this gully after crashing into a rock wall, I was led by one of my guides, my guide by the name of Ruben, otherwise known to me as Ruby. And we traveled together with a few of my other guides, and I saw my life from multiple perspectives and was really introduced to the non-physical realm. And at some point along the way, I chose to not see anymore. I think I felt like if I saw too much, I'd want to stay. And really what I wanted to do is be able to bring that information and that connection back to my physical body and reinstate with that body and start living my life from a completely different vantage point and with a deeper meaning and a deeper understanding of what life's all about and why we're here, you know, where we go when we quote unquote die. And with this new insight and this new knowledge, I've made it basically my life's purpose and my new mission to share with as many people who are, you know, at that point where they're willing and wanting to learn more about what exists beyond this scope that we're so used to seeing, this linear vision that we have. And through the process that I went through, I'm now able and fortunate enough to share my experience, and I'm finding it just a pleasure to meet so many people that are open to these ideas and willing to talk about them.
Well, you say you had a soul awakening. So can you tell us what that exactly was and how you were different after this near-death experience?
Well, there was a big inward change that I felt. And during my recovery, I was off work for many months. And on my second day of my recovery, I really didn't know what to do with my time. I felt myself sort of sliding into this very unhappy state of being. And with this acknowledgement of where I felt I was going, I decided that I needed to do something that was more proactive with my time and a bit more positive. And so I pulled out an empty journal and I thought, I'll start writing. And as I was contemplating what to write about, I realized that my pen had already been moving for quite some time, and I saw my mother's name signed at the bottom of this page, and I flipped back and realized that I had just written a nine-page letter from my mother, who had passed away in 1996. And to my surprise, I was reading this letter from her, and she talked about how,
automatic writing, channeling, yeah.
And it was something that I hadn't set out to do. It definitely wasn't in my plan for the day to channel a message from my mother. And I think because I didn't have any expectations about what I was actually going to write about, I had opened myself up to greater potentials and greater possibilities. So receiving this message from her was a life changer for me. And I woke up every day after that with this new enthusiastic outlook on life, and, you know, waking up with this knowing that I could just sit down and write and connect to the non-physical realm and our guides and teachers that exist there was just such a blessing, really. And that's what I started to do, and that was my opening to channeling. And eventually it led to sharing these messages with other people and seeing how it was impacting others in such a positive way. Pushed me in the direction to put many of these messages into the book, Soulful Awakening, and be able to share them with other people who at this point may not be able to reach that connection on their own. But
not
you know,
yet. not yet, but actually, I have taught many people a Reiki energy healing, and then they come into an unfoldment group, and we do deep meditations, and over time, all of them have developed the skill to do this. So it is possible for everybody on this planet to make this personal connection to spirit one way or another. I mean, I have interviewed many people who had near-death experiences, and they all come back with new spiritual gifts, as did you. You already had a feeling for it and an interest in it, but then it was heightened because of your connection to that energy in the other dimension, and I think it's wonderful. So that's really what a soul awakening is, a new awareness of your self potential and a potential to have your feet in two different worlds and to benefit from the information that you're receiving from that place, and it's a wonderful thing. Now, can you tell us something about the blackbird on the cover of your book and what that represents?
Well, the picture on the cover is of a raven, and it was a picture that was taken by a website designer. I have a landscape company here in my hometown, and she was out shooting shots of different jobs, and this baby raven just sort of appeared out of nowhere and landed on her tripod and hung out with them for the day. And I loved the picture. I loved everything about it. There was something that warmed my heart every time I looked at it. And when it came time to choose a cover for the book, I kept coming back to this picture. And then I looked up the meaning behind the raven, and where I'm from in British Columbia, we're surrounded by a lot of energy from the Indigenous people of Canada, and the raven represents a spiritual awakening. So it seemed like the most fitting of all covers for this particular book.
Is a raven the same thing as a crow?
No, they're different. They're in the same family, but they are different books. Raven or different birds. Ravens are much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a different meaning. So behind the raven, it's in the native community anyways, the raven represents the spiritual awakening, coming into oneself, acknowledging the connection between ourselves and source. And to me, that's what this whole book is about. That's what this whole experience is about, is my reconnection with my higher self, my reconnection with source, and the fact that I kept coming back to this picture of the raven. I then understood why it represented everything that I wanted this book to represent.
And it does, and it makes sense. You know, years ago, I was at a convention in Mexico, and one of the presenters was a young healer from Canada. His name was Adam. And he told us that in dreams, he was called to a certain island, and he went with his family and had an encounter with a large bird. And after this, his healing abilities, including seeing disease in a hologram of the body, was developed, among other spiritual gifts. And he was a very, very lovely and loving young man. And in a meditation that he performed, I could feel his energy and the selflessness of his intentions and work. So I guess this bird is a spiritual guide for some people. Yeah. So it's very interesting. I remember that story that he told. And when I saw the bird, I thought it might be the same bird.
You never know.
No, we never do know. So
no.
There are no coincidences. That was my first book, Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection. So, yes, seems that your spiritual awakening was triggered by this traumatic experience. Do you believe there is a connection to trauma and spiritual awakenings?
I do, especially now that I've been fortunate enough to, you know, talk to other people who have had their own experiences that were profound and of a traumatic sense, people that have had their own near-death experiences, people that have had illnesses, maybe people that have hit rock bottom, so to speak, with their own troubles and tribulations, and have had this traumatic event happen that has catapulted them into a new awareness. And during one of my morning meditations, through writing, I decided to ask about the connection between trauma and a spiritual awakening. And it was brought to my attention through a channeled message from one of my guides that trauma was or is a tool that's been designed by us as a collective consciousness, where it's when we go through a traumatic experience, it's the quickest and most efficient way to release that built-up pressure that we're experiencing when we're experiencing trauma. And the quickest way to release that pressure is through a direct line to source. So source will absorb that pressure and release it for us. So it's interesting because it's a tool that we've designed, and more often than not, when we are experiencing trauma and then the release of that trauma through that connection to source, it's almost as though through that release we're also absorbing source itself, which obviously lies within us at all times. But
yeah, you know, I had my own experience. I would be what you would have considered long time ago a skeptic about all this, and now I'm a Reiki master teacher and a medium, and I've been asked many times what began my awakening process, and I've thought about it greatly over the last 20 years, and I believe either a great love or a great loss or trauma may be the catalyst to remembering that we're spiritual beings having a physical life. And it comes on early for some people in their life, and for some, like myself, later, because I was busy living life in a primarily materialistic lifestyle. And that was necessary also for me to have the relationships and the experiences necessary to go on to the next step. Even though I was always following that inner voice of love and goodwill and helping people, I just wasn't aware that it was coming from that higher dimension. But it was always there. Now, you talk about your guides, and you mentioned you have many guides who come through. Some are Astro and Sal, who stand close by. And when we allow ourselves to tune into the frequency of this non-physical realm, we can begin to establish relationships with our guides, and we can gather an enormous amount of wisdom to help ourselves and others. Now, there was a message that I liked given to you by one of your guides, and it was this: don't resist. Just open yourself and listen to my words. Go with what is happening. You have lessons here to learn. You all do, from one another. Some will be clear and easy to see, so stay focused and in tune. The world is full of judgment, surprises, and hatred. Your mission, amongst others, is to teach the contrary. There is a lesson in everything. Everything. Everything we touch and smell and see. You are on the road you have chosen, so do not be afraid. Be excited. You have so much time left and experiences yet to come. So I love that, because that's what we started to talk about at the beginning of the show, how we have to conquer fear and all these negative emotions in order to get to this higher state or plane or way to see life as a reality of love, actually. Right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly true. And, you know, although that message, I remember that message was, for me at the time, it's something that I would say is applicable to everybody. And, you know, there's so much to that message, although it's really so simple. And that's the thing I find about most of these messages, is that for the most part, they're things that we know. It's just, we need to be reminded, and we need to remember that, you know, within every situation, we have a choice. We have a choice to look at a situation through the glasses of fear or through the glasses of love, for example. And if we are constantly looking at life as something to be fearful of in situations, you know, where we maybe feel intimidated or shy or lacking the courage to move to that situation, then we become stagnant, and we forfeit the opportunity for inner growth. So, you know, for me, reading that message was a reminder that life is meant to be fun. It's meant to be exciting. It's meant to be an opportunity for inner growth in every situation. And it's a matter of taking life by the horns and finding the inner empowerment that we all have access to, and making choices based on love for life as opposed to being afraid of it.
Yes, and your mother has let you know that you are a child of the universe, as are we all. And she said to treasure each breath. Do you think our spiritual friends see a physical life on Earth as more valuable than many of us realize while we're here?
Absolutely, and I think, again, that comes down to fear versus love. If we love our life and love every situation, whether it's fearful or not, we begin to treasure it that much more, because there's opportunity in everything. And, you know, I think for the most part, a lot of us, and, you know, not necessarily myself now at this point, but prior to 2012, certainly I would fall into the category of really taking life for granted and just
like most
prioritize.
Of us. Yeah, like most,
like
of,
most
us.
Of us. Mm-hmm. Exactly, and now I have a different outlook on it. I want to treasure every moment of every day as much as possible. And yes, there's days when I tend to forget that and I get caught up, you know, in my everyday life, but then it's a matter of coming back into my realization that, no, you know, every moment is special. Every breath that I take is valuable and purposeful, and with each breath I have the opportunity to send love out to the world in as many ways as I possibly can. And I think, you know, there's really value to be said in that. And when we have that's why breath is so important. And when we're feeling frustrated and irritable and you know, angry, it's important to come back to our breath and to actually just take that moment to take a deep breath and remind ourselves that this is our life, and through this breath, I have access to so much support, whether it's from the non-physical realm or whether it's from our physical beings here on Earth.
Absolutely. And now, you mentioned that you had a religious training in school, and I believe that some of that may have held you back for a while from finding this other conscious awareness that we're all one and connected, and sometimes religions separate us. And you have a chapter, it's called The Beginning of the End, where you had some school experiences, and your headmaster asked you to do something that you found hard to do. Do you remember that story?
Well, you know, basically I went to a private school for a couple of years in high school, and it was a very religious school, and they chose to use tactics of fear and manipulation and control to hopefully get the students to do everything that they would prefer us to do. And I feel that no matter whether it's a religion or whether it's spirituality or whether it's politics or whether it's how to landscape properly, if you use those fear-based tactics to try to get somebody to do what you want them to do, there's going to be resistance.
Yes, resistance and repercussions. And no, it's almost like bullying you. And sometimes thought patterns and people's belief systems do that to people. They make other people not march to their own tune and find their own way forward. There are many ways to find God, many paths to find your own being. And when you're restricted from doing that, there will be many repercussions, as you talked about in the book. And I kind of like that you approached it the way you did. What would you like people to take away with them after reading A Soulful Awakening?
Well, you touched on it earlier that, you know, we are all capable of becoming more in tune with ourselves, with our higher selves, with source, with our guides that exist just beyond the veil that that exists right here in front of us. And there, you know, I've received so many messages from people that have read the book that have found this inner transformation just through one paragraph or one chapter or one message, where just something within the book transpired them in such a way that they're able to have their own connection to their guides and teachers. And for me, that's, you know, the most beautiful thing about this book is that it is a transformational tool. It's a reminder of, you know, our greatness and our potential and the endless possibilities that that exist within us. And oftentimes life tends to squelch those things, if squelch is even a word, and if it's not, then I just designed it because I like it.
It is a good word, and yes, many things in our life will attempt to compress or depress or squelch our enthusiasm for life. You said it very, very well just now, and I want to thank you, Stephanie Banks, for sharing your near-death experience and the transformation and personal growth that you attribute to this challenging event, which became an opportunity for you to devote yourself to your soul development, to serve and help others also remember their inner energetic life force. To purchase a Soulful Awakening, go to stephaniebanks.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we can see that life can be greatly altered and indeed improved as the result of what can sometimes be seen as a tragedy, but which in reality may lead us to discover our soul essence, our life purpose or destiny, and are part of a plan we made before incarnating into this world. Stephanie has shared how her accident and recovery gave her the gift of channeling, raised her vibration or emotional capacity to feel and experience life in an extraordinary and more compassionate way, and answered many of her long-held questions about who are we and what are we supposed to be doing with this time on Earth. In regard to this thought, in my book, The Living Spirit, I write, Donna asked me if it was worth staying in this life with all its sickness and hardship. Without hesitation, I told her that I did believe life is a precious gift, no matter the challenges. I remembered the words my mother had said to me after her 3-month hospital stay and before her passing. Life was good. I have known love. Life, with all its challenges, offers us endless opportunities to have relationships and to expand our understanding of love and spirit. One can often find a moment of grace, courage, and love, even in a time when so much seems to be lost. Stephanie and I would have you reflect on these wise words she heard from Raphael. Open your heart completely without judgment or expectations. Trust in love and your need to find true happiness and peace. Find others that will be receptive and encouraging to your spiritual growth. Open your heart and soul completely to the energy that surrounds you. Find solace within yourself and those around you. Reach out to those in need with a simple smile or touch. Feel love spread throughout the universe as we converse with one another in this fashion. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, where you will find answers to your deepest questions, learn more about energy, and how to use it to develop your own higher thinking for greater love, prosperity, health, and a clearer view of life and beyond. Shows may also be accessed on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.